Hello and welcome to the very first edition of the FinCap podcast, a regular podcast coming from the heart of the city to discuss funding growth in the UK's most ambitious companies. Each of these podcasts will hear conversations between some of FinCap's expert brokers, financial advisors and analysts about the key topical issues on the minds of the UK's scale-up founders and CEOs. We're hopefully going to be demystifying the investment markets a bit and shining a spotlight on the big opportunities for growth. My name's Jonathan Bright, and today I'm in conversation with Grant Bergman, Corporate Finance Director at FinCap and Head of the FinCap Private Fundraising Team, and Guy Hewitt, FinCap's Research Director for the Support Services Sector. Now, last year, 2017, was a record year for the private company fundraising market, and FinCap Private's latest findings suggest the trend has continued. We're seeing growth amongst a lot of small and very agile tech companies, especially in the support services sector, all being driven by modern digitization. So, what does this mean for the wider tech investment landscape? Last year was a record year for UK private company fundraising. Are we still seeing that bumper growth at the beginning of this year?
Yes, we are. So last year, there was almost £4 billion raised in the UK in the £2 to £25 million space, which is the range that we tend to focus on. What we're seeing at the start of this year is continued growth off the back of that. So we've seen more and more interesting companies raising capital. We're seeing more and more companies leveraging off the government tax-efficient schemes. And we're seeing more and more funds that are looking to deploy their own capital, raise more capital, as well as new funds looking to raise money to benefit from these high growth areas.
And in terms of the sorts of trends you're seeing, like what kinds of companies are looking for funding right now?
It's a mix. So we continue to see a lot of technology plays. An interesting area that we're seeing more and more of, however, is more traditional businesses that are looking to bring new technologies to the traditional models, and a lot of the fundraisings are to implement that. So things such as blockchain on the one extreme, where people are looking to bring decentralized ledger systems to the existing businesses, is quite a hot topic at the moment. But then on the other extreme, it can be anything from facilities management to insurance plays that are looking to modernize and digitize their businesses.
So Guy, obviously digitization, digital transformation are very key to this area of growth. How is this affecting the valuations of these smaller tech companies?
Well, I think if they've got a solution to a pressing need in the companies, then as long as the track record is starting to be built, then it provides a huge fillip to the valuations. You can then start to look at the potential on much bigger markets potentially than they currently operate within.
And just to add to that, I think what we've seen on the private side is a lot of people have seen other companies raising at tech multiples and assume they can do the same, whether they're tech or not, and whether they've got an established business or not. But with this increased technology being built into the more traditional plays, they are able to attract higher multiples on the back of them actually having technology within those businesses and are able to attract sales multiples, for example, in more traditional businesses.
So this is a very transformative time. The onset of large-scale digital transformation means that there's a race to update as the bigger, more traditional players find those key tech partners to help their growth. The effect this race is having is particularly pronounced in the support services sector of late, and it's demonstrated perhaps more prominently by the incumbent support service companies that have maybe failed to keep up. How has the relationship changed between the more traditional players, as Grant was talking about, versus these young tech cos that have sort of found this new agility?
Well, I think we're at a really interesting point for the sort of wider support services sector. The likes of Carillion going bust and other big names such as Capita, Mighty, Interserve, etc., are going through very difficult times. I think just emphasises this is a very traditional sector that hasn't really innovated. It's fought on cost down, just simply on pricing, and that hasn't really allowed any room for investment and any real room to take on some of the new technologies and innovations that are increasingly out there. So you've got end up with this situation where, you know, we are increasingly seeing smaller private companies with innovative solutions that aren't or haven't yet been adopted by the traditional players. Now, I think we've reached a crossroads when the bigger players in the public market are really struggling, and they need now, the imperative it is, to find a different solution. And that would naturally lead to adopting digitalization and actually investing in some of these smaller solutions which are already out there.
And can you identify any sort of specific business concepts that are undergoing these kind of modern makeovers?
Well, Grant mentioned facilities management earlier, and I think it's a really good place to sort of alight on, because that is a traditional service which has been basically a function of planned service, so planned maintenance, if you like, or reactive maintenance. So literally fixing something in a building that has just broken, so the client's being inconvenienced already, or replacing it to try and prevent it on a sort of timely basis, which is inefficient because it hasn't broken yet. Now, if we can move to a more predictive environment, and technology would suggest, you know, with the availability of data and the communications technology coming through forward, you can end up with an asset that is smart, talks to you. The building will effectively, and all the operations within it, let you know when the most efficient time to provide work is. And so it becomes a much more efficient and timely work process. And that should save huge amounts of cost.
Yeah, so interestingly, again, what we're seeing is, even for some of the buy and build strategies that we're looking at, whereas traditionally, particularly in the facilities management space as an example, where they were buying other players to sort of bolt onto traditional services. So if you're a carpet cleaner, they'll buy a window cleaner, for example. We are now seeing them seeking more technological bolt-ons, which allows them, as Guy says, to monitor what a building is doing or how they can respond to customer needs more efficiently.
In your experience, where do their ambitions for growth generally lie? For instance, do they have, on the whole, aspirations to IPO?
Yes, so we're certainly seeing a lot of aspirations for a move to the public market eventually. I think people have used a lot of their time, money, and effort to build, in effect, what is their baby, to get it to a certain stage, and they want to see that carry on and grow and not necessarily exit fully. And the public markets allow them that opportunity to do that, to carry on leveraging off an evergreen funding structure. We're also seeing complete opposite. People want to build a three-year tech plan and eventually exit. So it does vary, but I think on the whole, people want to build something substantial and continue to see it grow.
And with the companies that are looking to stay private for longer, perhaps, is that something new?
I think that's largely driven by where the public markets are. So I think the public markets are more prudent in what they'll take to market these days, or what advisors will take to market on the public arm. I think companies need to have demonstrated a better track record. They need to get to a certain size to enable them to get to those public markets. So I think the drive of staying private for longer is largely driven by that, and trying to meet those thresholds, but also to maximize value while they can out of the public eye, and then come at a later stage.
It's an interesting point, actually, I think, because, you know, if we're talking about these innovative companies, they are clearly investing for longer-term growth. And when you're in the public arena, there's quite a balancing act between short-term profits, proving that you are making progress in that short-term arena, against the long-term. So possibly, if you're in a big investment phase, there'll be some reason for staying private a bit longer.
What about the investors themselves? Are we seeing a different class of investors with new interest entering the fray now?
I don't know about a different class of investors, but I think investors are very mindful of the disruption going on in the world, digitisation. You know, we're talking about support services, my area of expertise at the moment, but very clearly there's examples of huge disruption in wide, you know, different markets, and investors will probably be more general. They'll see that happening. And they'll realise that is, you know, highly likely to occur at some point in more traditional areas like support services. So that's an opportunity. If it's a sector that hasn't changed yet, it clearly is going to, and they're very mindful of that.
So right now, disruption is the talk of the town. And if investment hasn't been made in a sector yet, the chances are that a revolutionary disruption is around the corner. But what about in the next 10 years, when one might predict that most currently traditional disrupted sectors are all but upturned? What does the future hold, and how far can this digitization revolution go?
Well, we're going to see huge changes in transportation, in the way buildings are managed, the way buildings feedback data. The efficiency of workforces will improve, and the way of working will change hugely. So it's just a very different environment.
Demonstrating clearly how private tech companies are growing and surfing the wave of digitization, the FinCap private team recently raised growth funding for Flywheel IT Services, a company on a buy and build mission to target this highly fragmented IT market, aimed at servicing UK SMEs with innovative solutions from its strategic tech acquisitions.
Flywheel's another interesting one. It's in the managed IT space. It's a really, really impressive CEO that used his background at Oracle to address what he felt was a good consolidation play in the IT services space, and we helped him raise 6.4 million to go out and buy some key targets that he'd identified. We had a great funder come into that one, and in effect, they are going to go out and buy traditional IT services businesses from sort of mom and pop shops and others at good valuations, bring that under the Flywheel Group, bring in other technologies alongside that, and sort of, again, modernize that side of the industry.
Just one final point. Obviously, with the digital race in mind, how do you see the private fundraising market developing over the next, say, 12 months?
Bigger and bigger. I'm hearing rumors of large numbers of new funds coming to market that are raising substantial amounts of capital to deploy in various niches. So I think more and more capital is chasing more and more good deals. So I think it's only going to grow. Government seems to have held fast on the tax efficiency rules, so that's always good to see. So people are able to benefit from those in the UK, and that means more money can be deployed and risk can be downsized. So I think we'll see a lot more interesting entrepreneurs coming to market, and I think we'll be seeing a lot more capital being deployed.
I'd come back to, you know, investors in the public markets are hungry for growth as ever, and there's a huge opportunity, as we kind of started from, in the support services sector. Innovation is needed, new solutions. That's going to provide, you know, a perfect opportunity for newer companies to establish themselves. So that end demand, if you like, will filter through down all the way down the scale to the private markets to start that process.
Our thanks to Grant Bergman and Guy Hewitt for sharing their insights. Join us again soon for the next podcast from FinCap. And in the meantime, visit www.fincap.com to find out more about how our experts can help you find the investors and the funding that's right for your growth. FinCap, helping ambitious companies grow.